Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Chaf Amud Aleph. The Gemara is continuing with questions that Abaye asked of his Rebbe Rabba with regards to Pasei Biraot. And over here Abaye queries, If you have a Chatzer, Chatzer is usually the courtyard, the area in front of a house. So that courtyard then has an opening that either goes into a Mavoi, goes into Reshut Rabim. In this case, it happens to be that the opening leads into the area of the Pasei Biraot. There's nothing between them. They are adjacent to each other. And the question is, Mao letalto mitocha leben pasim? Can you carry from the chatzer into the area of the pasim, umiben pasim letocha, or from the area of the pasim back into the chatzer? As far as we are concerned, on a doraita level, a Torah level, both of these are classified as a reshut yachid. A chatzer is a reshut yachid, and so is the area of pasei biraot. They're both meshuyot yachid deoraita. Tosafot mentioned that already back on the Mishnah on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Bet. That according to the Gemara, it's clear that this has to be Reshut Yachid Midoraita. It's only that the Rabbonon, we say that they don't function, or that they are Guzer, that they don't work like a Reshut Yachid. So by a Chatzer, we already know that a Chatzer is a problem because it's an area that's Mishutaf, that many houses enter into it, and therefore it's an area of the Rabim. And since it's in an area of the Rabim, you have to have what's called an Eruv Chatzerot in order to allow you to carry from the houses to the Chatzer, or the Chatzer to the houses. Similarly, Pasei Biraot is also an area that is utilized by the Rabim, yet you're allowed to carry inside of it because it's classified as a Reshut Yachid inside the Pasei Biraot. Question is the standing or the status of the Pasei Biraot differentiated from that of the Chatzer, or is it the same as the Chatzer? The way the Ritva formulates the question is that the problem with a Chatzer is that you have what's called Diurim. You have people that live there. And when people live there, they have impact on making into a reshut of the Rabim. It's a reshut that is utilized by numbers of people, not just one household or one individual. So over here it happens to be a private chatzer, and only one individual uses the chatzer. So as far as the chatzer is concerned, the bayit and the chatzer, person can carry in and out of the bayit into the chatzer, there's no issue whatsoever. The pasei biraot, independently, people can go in there and draw the water and utilize the area as if it's a reshut yachid. The question is, can you cross between them? And the way Rashi formulates the question, and the Ritva explains, is that you have in the area of the well, it's an area that's mukaf lidira, as the Chachamim said in the Mishnah, that is classified as an area that is mukaf lidira because, as Rashi said in the Mishnah, since the mayhem, the waters are ru'im lishtiyat adam, tashmish dira maliyotei, it's considered to be a tashmish dira, and therefore you're allowed to have the area that surrounds it be even more than Beit Sa'atayim, because it's hukaf lidira. Now that dira, how permanent or how real a dira is it? Is it just a dira in the sense that we allow you to be makif, to surround an area with pasei biraot and do you madim in order to make it that it's a reshut yachid, no matter how big the area is? And that's the only reason that it's classified as a makom dira. But in terms of the permanence of the residents there, they pass through, they come, they leave, they come, they leave, and therefore it's going to have no impact on the chatzer, because a chatzer that has, for instance, two houses that open into it, one of the houses is inhabited and the other house is not inhabited, then in that case, the chatzer is mutar for the house that's inhabited, because there are no other inhabitants that are utilizing the chatzer simultaneously, and therefore you could utilize it. So maybe over here too, the adjacency of the chatzer to the pasim stimulates that effect, which is you have a chatzer that has owners or people that utilize it, and then you have the pasei biraot, which have people that quote-unquote live in there, but they're not permanent residents. And it's as if there's nobody there. It's as if it's an empty area, and therefore you could carry from the chatzer to the pasei biraot and vice versa. Or do we view the diurim or the dira that is created there to be people's placement, even though it's only temporary? Nevertheless, it's sufficient enough that it makes it problematic for the chatzer to carry into the area of the pasei biraot. So Rabba answers him without any hesitation. Amalei mutar. He says it's not a problem whatsoever. The way that the Ritva formulated, that means that we say that the diurim, the residents of the pasei biraot, are not really permanent residents. They're just passing through, and therefore it does not garner a shame of a place where people are present in order to make it a sur for the chatzer to carry. Shtayim mai. Now, as we can see in the picture in Rashi, what happens if you have two chatzerot that are parallel to each other, and they both open up into the pasei biraot? They open up into the area of the well, and that's the picture that's in Rashi. So there, what's the story? Now you have two chatzerot that both open up into the pasei biraot. So even if before you suggested that the pasei biraot, the residents or the dirim there, are not sufficient to be oster on the chatzer, but now that you have two chatzerot with access to that area, it's as if the Pasei Beriot almost becomes like a Mavui. It's an area that's a shared area that joins the two Chatzerot. And maybe it should be Asur for that reason. The way the Ritva formulates the question is this like a Mavui that's in front of a two Chatzerot? And each of the Chatzerot has usage or utility of this area and becomes like a Mavui where you have Diwarim in it, and that's what's making it Asur. And the problem is you have a Mavui that you can't be mishatef. Or do we say that since the Mavui is open in all directions, I mean the Pasei Beriot are open in all directions, even the utilization of each chatzer has no impact on it, and you could possibly be mutar even without a shituf mavot. In other words, Rashi views this simply as a question of it's asur. The only question is, does the shituf work or not? Meaning that he doesn't have a tzad like the Ritva that it could be mutar without anything. He thinks it's asur. Just the question is, does the shituf or the eruv chatzerot between them, can that solve the problem or not solve the problem? So it's only a question of whether you have a fix for the problem that it is asur, whereas the Ritva sees it as a question here of being whether it's asur or mutar, and then if it is asur, can you fix it through an eruv? So Amalei, there he says it is asur. Amar Rav Huna, shtaim asurim, va'afilu irvu. Rav Huna says about this statement of Rabbah that it's asur when you have two chatzerot that open into that. He says that even if the two chatzerot have an eruv between them, even if they have created an eruv, nevertheless, they still cause a problem inside of the area of the Pasei Beriot. Now technically, if two chatzerot made an eruv together, and now they're considered to be a single entity, why should it be a problem for them to use the area of the Pasei Beriot or to go out into the area of the Pasei Beriot? Should be no different than like a single chatzer that before Rabba Paskin is mutar. So Rav Huna agrees that that's true. But he says there's a gzera. Shema yomru, eruv molil, the ben apasim. Because maybe people will come to think that the eruv works ben apasim. So the way Rashi explains this is that the eruv between the two chatzerot is not created by using the quote-unquote mavui here, which is the area of the Pasei Beriot, which allows the connection between the chatzerot, but there's actually a doorway between the two chatzerot. And therefore the eruv is created independent of the Pasei Beriot. So these two chatzerot join together because they have a doorway between them and they created an eruv chatzerot. Now our question is, once they've established the eruv chatzerot, it's as if there's one chatzer opening up into the Pasei Beriot. That's the case, then you should be mutar to move freely between those two areas, like Rabba Paskin, when it was a single chatzer that opened up into the Pasei Beriot. Along comes Rav Huna and says, even if they have an eruv between the two chatzerot, they still can't utilize the Pasei Beriot, because it looks like the reason they're doing this is because the Pasei Beriot is functioning as a mavoi, and it's if they made a shituf mivaot. And that's what allows these two chatzerot to pass between them and go through the Pasei Beriot, is because you're using the joining mechanism as being the Pasei Beriot, because people inside of that area can't tell that there's a door between the chatzerot. All they see are two chatzerot that open into this area of the Pasei Beriot, and their assumption is going to be that the Pasei Beriot is functioning as the joining mechanism between the chatzerot, and they're going to incorrectly then conclude that you can make an eruv for a shituf mivaot in the area of the Pasei Beriot in order to join the two chatzerot together, which is incorrect. As Rashi points out, you can't use the normal shituf mivaot and have the Pasei Beriot act as a mavoi to connect them, because it's usually done when there's a mavoi she'enu mifulash. It's a mavoi that has three walls, and then it's the fourth wall is exposed, and you have to put a lechi or korah there to create the shituf mivoot. But it doesn't work when you have a mavoi a mifulash. When you have a mavoi that has straight passageway through it, there you can't create an area of shituf mivoot, even though we found before in the Gemara, and we're going to see in upcoming Dabim, the view of Rabbi Yehuda, that you're able to do it when you have houses on either side of the road, that you're allowed to put up a lechi and a korah to make it into an area that crosses or traverses the Rishut Rabbi and makes it into Rishut Yachid. Or maybe even according to the Chachamim, if you put up a tzurat petach and a lechi on the other side. Nevertheless, those are areas that are miuchad to those chatzerot or those areas, because you can shut them off at night, you can close them down, and focus the utilization for those particular people. That's not true here. These are public venues, public thoroughfares, and you can't shut them down. And therefore, the mavoi is not a mavoi that is ra'oi for shituf mivot. So that only leaves you one option, and that's the option to make the eruv here through a doorway between the two chatzerot. But that is exactly Rav Huna's fear, which is that when you do it that way, people are going to conclude just the opposite, that you did it through the shituf mivot and not through the eruv chatzerot. And that's why Rav Huna says it's asur, because of gzeir shemiro eruv moyo the ben apasim. Rava amar, Rava says irvu mutar. Rava says if they did make an eruv between the two chatzerot, it's no different than a single chatzer opened into an area of a pasei birot, and therefore it would be mutar. So amar le abayi the Rava, Tanya de Mesailoch, you have a braita that supports your contention. Chatzer shirosha achad nichnas the ben apasim. Mutar letatel mitocha, the ben apasim, u ben apasim letocha. So here you have the statement of Rabbah from before, now found in a Braita, which is that if you have a single chatzer that opens up into the Pasei Bireot, you can carry freely between the two of them. They're both Rishiyot HaYachid. The only diurim that are considered to be permanent residents are those of the chatzer. And therefore, there's no problem here, and you can carry from the chatzer to the Pasei Bireot, and vice versa, from the Pasei Bireot into the chatzer. Aval, shtayim asur. In the case where you have two chatzerot that open up into the Pasei Bireot, similar to what Rabbah said before, that makes it problematic, because now you have two residents that are opening into the Pasei Bireot, and multiple residents, midrabanan, make something asur in Tiltul on Shabbat. Now, the Braita qualifies that statement and says, when is that true? Shalo irvu. That's only when they didn't make an eruv between the two chatzerot. Alav irvu mutarim. But if they make an eruv between them, then it is mutar. So you see exactly what Rova is contending over here, that only when there's no eruv are the two chatzerot problematic in terms of moving into the pasei habiraot. But when you have the two chatzerot joined together to a single entity, then you can carry from them into the pasei biraot and vice versa from the pasei biraot into the chatzerot. Gemara says, Lematavi tiyufta de Rav Huna. Not only is this a proof to Rova's contention, it also seems to be a strong refutation of the position of Rav Huna, who says that you're not allowed to do it in this case because of the Gzeira de Rabbanon. Some of the Rav Huna is going to say, Hatam, the Braita is a unique case, the Hadran v'Irvan. It's a case where they made an additional Eruv. So Rashi over here explains that Hadran v'Irvan means that they originally had an Eruv that existed between them because of some sort of doorway. But beyond the doorway, a part of the wall that sits between the two chatzerot fell down. There was some sort of breakdown between them in the wall. As Rashi says over here, there was a pirtza gdola b'sofa. At the end of the wall, there was a big break. Shegalui l'kol shereshut achati. So it's clear to everyone that the way or the mechanism for joining these chatzerot is not through the pasei birot or the connecting device, the mavui-like connection of the pasei birot. But because the two chatzerot would actually be asurot to each other had they not made an eruv, because there's this huge gap or break between them. Rashi says it's bisofa, at the end of the wall. From Rashi's drawing and from the marshal, it seems to be the break is on the opposite side of the pasei biraot. You can see that in Rashi, the diagram, he says pirtza. Whereas according to the Ritva in Rashi's explanation, the break in the wall is closer to the pasei biraot so that it's visible from that side, that you can see that there's a break between the walls. That obvious eruv, meaning that the forced joining of the chatzerot, makes it that everybody knows that the way that they're creating this eruv chatzerot is through the chatzerot joining together, because there's clearly a gap between them that requires some sort of joining, and therefore they can join through the gap that everybody can see that's visible, unlike a little doorway or window that's between them that wouldn't be visible to those people in the Pasei Bireot, or into Rashi on the other side, where there's a Mavui or Rishut Rabim that is traversing, that would be obvious to everyone how they're doing this Eruv here, and that's how Rav Huna is going to explain the Braita. So now we continue with another question from Abai to Rabba, which is, Bai minei Abai mi Rabba, yafshu mayim b'shabbat mahu. What happens if in these Pasei Biraot, the source of water dries out on Shabbat and there's no longer any water there? Are the Pasei Biraot still functional to make it into a Rishut Yachid there? Amalei klum naseit mechitza ele bishvil mayim. Rabba rhetorically answers him, the only reason the mechitzot work here, or the only reason the Rabbanon allowed the mechitzot to be functional, is because of the water. If there's no water, then there's no dira. If there's no dira, then there's no mechitzot. So by definition, the mechitzot are not good mechitzot, they're not functional because of the fact that there is no water here. And as Tosfot points out, even though Abai himself believes, with regards to Shabbat, that whole hutra, once the mechitzot are matir an area on Shabbat, it's mutar the gamre, even if they break down or change over Shabbat, he says, Moda hocha mishum deleka mechitzot. Over here, he would agree with Rabba's conclusion, because it's not that there were mechitzot and something has changed with the dynamic of the area, but rather the water is so essential for the mechitzot, it's as if there are no mechitzot left here whatsoever. And therefore, there is no heter of Shabbat. So since there is mayim enkan, mechitza enkan, there's no water, there are no mechitzot. So now by Ravin asked the following question. Yabshu mayim b'shabbat, uva'u b'shabbat, mahu. So now you can read this in one of two ways. You can either read this as two separate questions, which is the first question is similar to Abai's question, which is, what happens if you have a pasei biraot and the water dried up on Shabbat? And then you have another scenario, which is that you had a bare board that was dry, that had pasei biraot on it, and then the water filled on Shabbat. It rained on Shabbat, and now it filled up on Shabbat. So that could be one possibility. That's actually two separate questions. Or the way that Rashi reads it is that it is a continuous question, which is both the things happened on Shabbat. Yavshua mayim b'Shabbat. It originally had water there, then it dried up on Shabbat, and then it rained again on Shabbat, and the water came back. So according to Rashi, there was originally water there, and then it changed on Shabbat, and then the status changed again on Shabbat, and that's the nature of the question according to Rashi. Whereas according to the Ritva, the question is two separate questions. One that's the same as the Bais question, what happens if it dries up? And that we know the answer to already, which is, it is not a mechitza. And the second question is, what happens if you get water where in a dry place, that water comes in where there are pasei birot on Shabbat itself? So I'm really a bai. Yav shu b'Shabbat lo tiboy loch. Where it's dried out on Shabbat, that's not even a question. The bai minei mar, I already asked Rabbo, pashutli. And he answered me, dasir, that it is asur. So that I know, so this sounds much more like the Ritva, that these are two separate questions. But according to Rashi, it's just saying, you don't have to ask that question because that's a given. Now, building on that given, Bo nami loti bailach. If the rain now, according to the Ritva, for the first time, the water appears on Shabbat in these pasei birot, according to Rashi, returns. Davle mechitza suya b'Shabbat. That's a mechitza that came into existence on Shabbat. Using Rabba's principle that the water is what generates the mechitzot or takes away the mechitzot, when the water comes on Shabbat, it's as if the mechitzot of the pasei birot came into existence on Shabbat. Betanya, and we have a braita that we are going to see in a couple of daf, we saw it in Shabbat and daf Kuf Aleph, that kol mechitza suya b'Shabbat, any mechitza that's created on Shabbat, ben b'shugeg, whether it happened unintentionally, ben b'mezid, whether it was intentional, ben b'ones, whether it happened by accident, ben b'ratzon, or it happened willingly, shema mechitza. Doesn't matter how it came into existence, once it's there, it is a mechitza. Mar says, wait a minute, v'lavit marla, don't we have a qualification of that braita? Amar Rav Nachman lo shanu al lizrok. That makes it into a reshut yachid. If a mechitza comes into existence on Shabbat, it makes it into a reshut yachid deoraita, which means if you throw from reshut rabim into that area, you're going to be chayav because it is a real reshut yachid midoraita. Aval letaltel lo. But to carry in that area, that would not be permissible because midrabanan, it's still not considered to be a complete reshut yachid. So why don't you say the same thing over here? If the water came into the pasei biriot on Shabbat and it created quote unquote the mechitzot on Shabbat, okay, it's a reshut yachid so that you'll be chayav if you throw from the reshut rabim into the reshut yachid, but it should not permit you to carry in that area or utilize that area. Mar says, ki itmar de Rav Nachman amezid itmar. Rav Nachman's statement is only when it happens intentionally, meaning that's a punishment, a penalty that's levied on the individual for creating these mechitzot and Shabbat that we say that they're not functional in terms of their positive side, which is that you can't carry in that area. And therefore, in this instance, where it's clearly not intentional, the pasei birot existed, the rain comes from natural causes, and therefore it will be full-fledged mechitzot, and you'll be able to carry in that area because the mechitzot were created on Shabbat, and once they're created on Shabbat, they're good and functional mechitzot and becomes a reshut yachid. So according to Rashi, that would mean that in a case where it was, first had water, dried out, and water came back, that would be the case. According to the Ritva, that would be a case even if it was dry coming into Shabbat, and then the rain came and made it into a mechitza on Shabbat, the area of the pasei biraot. Someone Rabbi Elazar Zarek ben pasei biraot chayav. Someone who throws something from a reshut rabim into the area of the pasei biraot, he's going to be chayav a chatat. It was b'shogeg, chayav skila or karet, if it was done b'mezid, because it's a full-fledged reshut yachid midoraita. Where it says pshita ilav mechitza he heichim ishtar leilam al ot. If it wasn't a real mechitza midoraita, how could the Chachamim come and permit you to take out of a boar or a be'er that is a full-fledged reshut yachid, 10 tefachim deep, 4 by 4 tefachim wide, that is a reshut yachid midoraita, and we're allowing you to draw water from there and bring it into the air, the pasei birot, which if it was still reshut rabim, that would be nisur doraita. How could they override an nisur doraita for the convenience of the Olei Regalim? So it must be that it is a real reshut yachid once you put out the pasei biraot midoraita. So it says, lo, tzricha David ke'ein pasei biraot reshut rabim. It was a case where he put up pasei biraot, but there was no well in the area, or there was no water in the area. So there, v'zarak l'tocha, if you threw from reshut rabim into that area, chayav. It says, hanami pshita, that's also pretty straightforward. Ilav de ba'alma mechitzi gabi bor, if these mechitzot are not mechitzot in other areas of halacha, meaning they don't create reshut yachid, in other instances, just because there's water there, shouldn't change the fact that it creates a mechitza midoraita. Yes, midrabanan, we can talk about hukaf ledira, lo hukaf ledira, how big, what's the size. But at a Torah level, if it creates a reshut yachid, it works whether there's a water source there or whether there's no water source there, because when it works when there's no water source, the Rabbanan can be makil when there is a water source and say, we're not going to be gozer in those cases to prevent people from utilizing those pasei habiriot, that means that it is functional in any other case. Mar says, lo tzricha afagav de habaki barabim. The chedesh here is, even though this is in the reshut rabim, the pasei birot are in the reshut rabim, it creates a reshut yachid. But in this instance, it is still used as a thoroughfare of the reshut rabim. People traverse the pasei birot. They walk straight through the middle of the pasei birot, and they're still utilizing that area. So that's baki barabim. Umay kamash malon. Where does it come to teach us? That comes to teach you that the easement or the public easement that allows them to walk through this area, even though they're pasei biraot, doesn't ruin the mechitzot. And there still are mechitzot there. It's still a reshut yachid, even though the rabim is traversing it, which we'll get to on daf chaf bet. It's a machloket, as we're going to see in a second, between the chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. And that's what the Gemara says. Hama Rabbi Elazar chadaz nimna. We already know this from Rabbi Elazar because of the Mishnah coming on chaf bet. It's not Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Ma'ita derech reshut rabim mafsa katan. If you have a public thoroughfare that goes through the middle of the pasei habiraot, as Rashi notes over here, she'en sham derech ela ben pasim. There's no other option besides going through the pasim, according to Rabbi Yehuda. That undermines mechitzot of the pasei biraot, because that's the only public thoroughfare remains a reshut rabim and doesn't become a reshut yachid. Yisal kenel tzadim. You have to detour the public thoroughfare around the pasei biraot, because if you didn't detour them, they would ruin the pasei biraot. They would ruin the mechitzot by having the rabim traverse that area. Chachamim or me, ain't no tzarich. Chachamim say you don't have to do it. Even if the thoroughfare goes straight through the pasei biraot, they still work. So then we have a statement of Yochanan v'Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar both say, "Damrei tarvayu kano diacha kochan shel mechitzot." The Chachamim's position indicates to you the power of mechitzot to make a reshut yachid, because despite the fact that there's a public traversing this area and walking through these mechitzot, they don't change the fact that these mechitzot are functional and they create a reshut yachid. So that's the power of mechitzot. So now you see that from the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar already told us this din that they are considered to be a reshut yachid, even when there's a public that traverses that area. So it says, if it was from there, havamina kan velosvirle. I would have thought that he was explaining the position of the Chachamim, but he doesn't necessarily hold of that position of the Chachamim. He says, yes, that's the view of the Chachamim, that if a public traverses the mechitzot, they don't ruin them, but nevertheless, I don't hold like that. I don't pass them like that. Kamash valan kan visvirle. So now we know that not only does he think that that's the view of the Chachamim, he also thinks that that is true halachically, and that's why he makes the statement here that if you throw something into pasei habiraot, you're going to be chayav as if it's a reshut yachid, even if the public traverses that area. So Gemara says, v'lemaha, v'lo bayach. Why do you have to say both of them? You could have said one, and you would have known the other. Gemara says, chada michlal chaverta itmar. One of them was learnt out from the other. It was an inference drawn from the other one. It's not clear which one he said. It seems from the simple reading of the Gemara and the way that Rashi explains that he said this statement that we found in our Gemara here, which is that if you throw ben pasei habiraot, that you are chayav. And his students extrapolated from that he must believe that that's the view of the Chachamim in the Mishnah that's found on Chaf Bet. That's what the Chada Michlal Chaverta is. On the other hand, the Marshal says just the opposite. He says that the position of Rabbi Elazar is known from the Mishnah on Chaf Bet, and that's where he draws his conclusion. And the assumption is that if that's the way he explains the Chachamim, he believes that that is true as well. And that's how the Talmidim came to the conclusion and said the statement that we have on this Amud from the statement that he made about the Mishnah. So it's a machloket about which one he said and which one was inferred, but he only had to say one of them, but they're true in both. The reason that's necessary over here is because we're going to see on Daf Chaf Bet that Rabbi Yochanan, who says the same statement as Rabbi Elazar, is kan velo svirle, as Tosafot points out over here. Rabbi Yochanan believes that is the position of the Chachamim, but as we're going to see on Chaf Bet, Rabbi Yochanan does not agree with that position. And since Rabbi Yochanan doesn't agree, it's important to note over here that Rabbi Elazar does agree or does paskin like the Chachamim, unlike Rabbi Yochanan, who is differentiated. And that's why either he said explicitly that's the halacha, and then they joined that together, Rabbi Yochanan's statement about the Chachamim's position, or the assumption is, if that's the Chachamim's position, that's why he paskins, because the Gemara and Chaf Bet only notes that Rabbi Yochanan argues and not that Rabbi Elazar argues, and therefore you can conclude this statement over here. So that's the view of the Rashba versus the Marshal as to which of these two statements was made and which is inferred from the other one. It's not autumn. We have a Mishnah that tells us, Lo yamod adam b'shut rabim, b'shte b'shute yachid. Person's not allowed to stand in the public thoroughfare and drink water that is found in the reshut yachid. B'shute yachid, or vice versa. He's not allowed to stand in the private domain, b'shte b'shute rabim, and drink water that is in the reshut rabim, ela im kein. This is the qualification for how you can do it. Machnis, rosho, verubo, l'makom, shayashute. until he moves the robe of his body and his head into the area where he is drinking. So by doing that, he solves the problem, which we'll have to identify what exactly is the problem over here. But whatever that problem is, it's solved by him having his head and the robe of his body in the area where he's drinking and where the water is found. So if he's standing with Shut Rabim, the water is found with Shut Yachid. As long as he leans over into the Shut Yachid with his head and robe of his body, that would be mutar on Shabbat, and vice versa would be true as well. V'chein begat. And that's also true when it comes to a wine press. As Rashi notes over here, the halacha is that with regards to ma'aser, that the gemar malacha for ma'aser is only once the wine is taken out of the gat, is taken out of the press. As long as the wine is still in the press, it is not chayav in ma'aser, but as soon as you take it out of the gat, then already has a din of keva, and you'd be chayav in trumot ma'asrot. So as long as you're drinking from the gat itself, then it's mutar to drink without taking off trumot ma'asrot. Well, what is considered to be drinking from the gat versus drinking outside the gat? So the same qualification that we have here by Shabbat. If his rosho v'rubo is leaning over into the gat, then it's as if he's drinking from the gat directly, and it's not a problem. Whereas if he has robe his body outside the gat, then it's considered to be as if he's taken away from the gat and becomes chayav in trumot ma'asrot. And as Rashi points out over here, it obviously is drinking directly from the gat. That's not an issue because his mouth's in the gat. Problem is if he's taking it in a cup and he's drinking it over the gat, is it still considered part of the gat? And that's determined by how much of his body's over there. And that's even if you dilute the wine with water, cold water, hot water, doesn't matter. As long as you're still in the gat, it's considered to be as if it's in the gat, and you're not chayav and trumot and masrot. In that instance, it's considered to be still a shtiyat arai and not a shtiyat keva. Now, as to what the reason is that it is asur, Rashi claims over here that we are chashinan, shema yimashek kufol makom raglav. We're worried that he's going to take his body to where he's standing, viotzia kli imo, and he's going to take the kli with him. So if we insist that the majority of his body and his head is in that area, he's not going to come to move the kli back to where he's standing. Then if it's only a portion of him there, he's going to pull the kli back to where he's standing, and he's going to move it from the Rishut Yachid to Rishut Rabim or vice versa. And that might be the same problem that you have by the gat. We're worried about him taking the kli and moving it out from the area that is inside the gat to the area that's outside the gat. That's the way that the Rosh views the problem by gat, similar to that of Shabbat. On the other hand, the Ritva sees the question by the gat as being more fundamental. Are you inside the gat or not inside the gat? And that's determined by how much of your body is in the gat versus what's outside. It has nothing to do with the gzera like by Shabbat. Also raises the question as to why this isn't simply a problem of the water. The water that you're taking from the Shut Yachid, you're swallowing it, and it's going into your stomach or your body that is in the Rishut Rabim. And that's why it's problematic until you move Rosh Ovarubo into the area that is the Rishut Yachid Rishut Rabim, because then your stomach is in the same area as where your mouth is, where the water is being taken in. And Tosfos says, why can't that be the issue over here? Similar to what the Gemara is going to say further on about urinating. If someone urinates from the Rishut Yachid into the Rishut Rabim, or vice versa, they're chayav votzah on Shabbat. So Rashi later on in the Masechta says that the difference between urinating and spitting versus drinking is because the water, once it reaches your mouth, already has anacha. So the akira is taking the water from the Shut Yachid. Once it reaches your mouth, it already has anacha. Your mouth is a makom ptur because it's not big enough to be a Shut Yachid or Shut Rabim. So you went from a Shut Yachid into a makom ptur, and then from a makom ptur, you went into your body, which is either in the Shut Rabim or Shut Yachid, and that's why it's not a problem because it passed through a makom ptur. But in the case of urinating and spitting, where your body and your mouth are in the same location, it's not considered to be a makom ptur, a differentiated reshut. So that's the way Rashi deals with it further on. Tozo brings a number of questions and answers on this position of Rashi. Then he offers an alternative of a differentiation between urinating and spitting versus drinking, which is, well, nir l'feresh, the hacha kishbola miyad chashivin kenachin. As soon as they enter your mouth, it's as if they reach their destination. Avaviv deina nachin at yehudah me'av. Even though they don't come to full rest until they reach your stomach, mishom demivad le'agav gufo. Because they're batel to the guf, rabbi akira v'anacha b'chad reshuta. And therefore the akira and anacha happen in the same reshut. So in this instance, you won't have a problem because as soon as it reaches your mouth, that's already a hanacha. And once you have a hanacha, then the reshut yachid went into your mouth that was in the reshut yachid, and you're done. And even though the mouth is not considered to be a reshut because it's too small, and the water is going to only come to rest in your stomach, since the mouth is batel to the guf, it's as if it already happened. It's already as if the hanacha happened already. And therefore, that's not an issue over here. This movement of the water to your body and then through your body, it's not an issue over here, and therefore like Rashi says, the problem is that maybe you're going to move the kli that you're using to drink with back to you. So depending on how much of your body is there, will help us safeguard against you doing that, taking the kli back to the other side, because if you have more of your body there, you're less likely to take it back, or to remind you not to take it back. Because if you only have a small part of your body there, you're going to likely take the kli back to the area where you're standing, and that's going to be a problem of hotza'ah on Shabbat. And again, it's not hotza'ah, the water itself going into your body or drinking, either because as Rashi says, you're going through a makom tour of your mouth. According to Tosafot, you're going through your mouth, which is batel to the goof, and it's as if it already came to anacha inside your mouth in the reshut yachid where you're taking the water from. So now that's all in a way of introduction to the real question that the Gemara wants to ask over here, which is, Gabi Adam ha'amar debay rosho v'rubo. By a person, you already established that you have to have the majority of his body in his head in the location where he's drinking from. Gabi para mi bin en la rosha v'rubo lo. By a para, do you have that same requirement? When it's drinking, does the rosh and the robe of that animal need to be in the location where it's drinking from? Kohecha dekan nakit mana velo nakit la. In a case where the person that's giving the animal to drink is holding the kli, the utensil which the animal is drinking from, but he's not holding the animal, lo tibayilach. That's not a question. Debay roshav ruba milagav. And you clearly need the rosh and the robe of the animal inside the area of the paseh habiraot, because we're afraid if it's not there, the animal will pull his head back, and by doing that, he'll pull the kli out into the reshut harabim. And so, if you're not holding the animal's head, and you're only holding the kli, there's a high likelihood that the animal might buck or move itself out and pull the kli with it back into the reshut harabim. So in order to avoid that problem, you have the rosh and rove of the animal inside the paseh habiraot, so that even if it pulls back or pulls the kli in that direction, it's not going to be a problem because you're going to still be within the paseh habiraot. Ki dibaylach, the question is really in this circumstance. Heka denokit mono venokit la. In a case where the person's both holding the animal by its reins or by its collar, and he's holding the kli, the utensil that it's drinking from. My, what's the din there? Maybe there you don't need as much space because you don't have the fear of the animal bucking and pulling the kli back. It's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that the minimum amount of paseh habiraot is 2 amot, because you need to have the rosh and the rove of the animal, the para, inside the paseh habiraot, v'shotah. And then it can drink. My love, the nokit la, the nokit mana. Our Mishnah must be a case where he's holding the head of the animal and he's holding the kli, and yet it still demands that you have rosh virubo inside the paseh habiraot. Lo, Gemara says no. Why do you have to say that? Maybe the case of our Mishnah is the nokit mana, the no nokit la. It's a case where he's holding the utensil, but he's not holding the animal. B'chi nokit mana, v'lo nokit la mishori. Wait a minute. How could you suggest that that's our Mishnah? We have a braita that seems paid otherwise, that when you're only holding the utensil and not the animal, then it's not mutar at all. We have a braita that we're going to see further on in the Gemara and Dafkof Aleph. Lo yimalei adam mayim b'itein b'shabbat lifnei b'amto. Person can't fill up a kli and put it in front of his animal on Shabbat. Aval mamaleihu b'shofech. He can fill up a kli and pour it into the trough, b'ishota me'alea, and then it drinks by itself. So inside the paseh habiraot, from the simple reading of the braita, it sounds like you're allowed to draw water from the well or the cistern and pour it into the trough and let the animal drink from that trough. But what you're not allowed to do is draw the water and then have the animal drink from the kli. And now, based on this, the only way to reconcile between the braita and the Mishnah is to say they're speaking about two different cases. And that means that the braita must be speaking about a case where you're only holding the kli and not the animal. And that's why it's asur legamre. Which means the Mishnah must be speaking about a case where you're holding the animal and the kli. And given that, the Mishnah still requires you to have rosho v'rubo. And that would be the answer to our question. So you can't suggest that our Mishnah is speaking about a case where you're only holding the kli. But if you're holding both of them, you can have less, because in order to reconcile our Mishnah with the Braita, you have to explain them in different instances. And the instance that the Braita is speaking about must be the case where it's more likely to be problematic, which is when you're just holding the kli. And the Mishnah is the case where it's less likely to be problematic, which is when you're holding the kli and the animal. And even though the Gemara seemed to have said before that rosh rubo should work when you're just holding the kli, and then we brought a braita that says just the opposite, Tosafot says that's really an imtim salomar. Even if you want to say that it's mutar by the case of holding the kli, it's clearly going to have to be rosh rubo. But now we found something that says that's even asur. So therefore, our Mishnah must be speaking at a case of holding both of them. So Gemara says, "Arei tamar lo." We're going to see it at the end of today's daf on the top of Chof Aleph that Rabbi qualified that braita and explained what that braita is speaking about. You have a trough that is sitting in the Reshut Rabim. According to Rashi, the trough is running between the house or the barn of the animal and the Pasei Birot. So there is a Reshut Rabim that passes in between the Pasei Birot and the barn. And there's a trough now that's laying between the Pasei Birot, filling that space between the Pasei Birot and the barn. Now, it's 10 tefachim high, 4 tefachim wide, which makes it into Reshut Yachid. So now, Rosho Echad Nichnas, the Ben HaPasim, one side of the trough is in the area of the Pasim, Bar Pasei Birot, and you're able then to draw water, pour it into the trough, and have it fill the trough. What the Breita is telling you is you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to pour the water in the area of the Pasei Birot to fill the trough. You can see in this picture down in Nagota Bach on the right side that you fill the trough from where inside the Pasei Birot. The water flows through the trough, which is a Reshut Yachid. It's not a problem. And the animal in the barn leans over and drinks from the avus. What you're not allowed to do is carry the bucket with the water from the Pasei Birot, hold it over the trough, and take it all the way across until you reach the animal, and then pour it or give it to the animal to drink over there. Now, technically, that should be fine, as Rashi tells us that the Gemara in Shabbat says that you could stand in the Reshut Arabim and carry something in the Reshut Yachid, as long as you stay in the Reshut Yachid, and that's what you're doing here. You're carrying from the Pasei Birot, which is in the Reshut Yachid. You're carrying over the trough, which is the Reshut Yachid, and Reshut Yachid is Ole Ad Arakia, so you can carry all the way across the top of the Avus, and then bring it to the barn and have the animal drink over there. So that should have been mutar. Why are you not allowed to do it? Or why is the Braita say you can't do that? Zera dilma chazile lavus demikalkel. Because while you're carrying the bucket over the trough, you might see a part of the trough that's broken down or something wrong with it. Vatalitkune. And you're going to want to fix it or straighten it out. Vidorale ledav la vade. And when you do that, you're going to pull the bucket with you. Vekamapik mishut yachid reshut rabim. And you're going to end up taking it from the shut yachid reshut rabim. Or in essence, according to Rashi, what's happening here is you're taking the bucket from the Pasei Birot. You're walking through the shut rabim, but keeping the bucket over the avus. Right in the middle of your traversing, crossing over this avus with the bucket, you see there's a problem. So you stop to fix it. But now you have one of your hands holding a bucket. So what are you going to do? You're going to put the bucket down next to you. Uh-oh. When you put the bucket down next to you, the avus was a reshut yachid, and now you're putting it down in a reshut rabim that is next to you. And that's Hotzah. And that's what the Gezerah is, so that you would not do such a thing. Tosfot says that Rashi's explanation is unnecessary. It doesn't have to be that the animal is standing in a barn in a Reshut Yachid. It could be that the animal is standing in the Reshut Rabim, drinking from this trough that extends into the Reshut Rabim out of the Pasei Abiraot. And it could be the animal is drinking there and you have the same problem. Don't carry the bucket from the Pasei Abiraot all the way out to where the animal is in the Reshut Rabim and keep it there, because you might find something wrong with the trough and want to put it down. Rather, you should pour the water into the trough by the Pasei Birot, and it'll flow through the avus, which is the Reshut Yachid, and then the animal can drink from it, even if he's standing in the Reshut Arabim. And so Tosafot says, this whole addition of the barn and the animal being in Reshut Yachid on the other side, that Rashi entered into the picture, is not necessary for the explanation of the case. The Gemara then says, "B'chiyai gavna mi michayiv." In that situation, would you really be chayav? Amar Rav Safra, Amar Rav Ami, Amar Rav Yochanan. Don't we have a statement from Yochanan? A mefaneh chavatzav mizavit lezavit. The person is moving things within his house. He picks up a chair and he moves it from one side of the room to the other side of the room. That's what he wants to do. And then he changes his mind all of a sudden, and he takes them out into the Reshut Rabim. Patur, that's not a case where you're chayav rotzav, shloi takira mishari shona lekach. Because when you were okay, the item, you did the akira, you lifted it out of the Reshut Yachid, you didn't intend to put it down in Reshut Rabim, you intended to put it back down in Reshut Yachid. So that's not an akira of Isur. And therefore, in our case, you have the same situation. When he picked up the bucket to take it out of the Pasei Birot and carry it across the Avus, he had intended to put the bucket down or keep it in Reshut Yachid. He never intended to put it down in Reshut Rabim. That was an accident. He forgot, and he put it down in the Reshut Rabim. In that case, you're not going to be Chayav Midoraita. It's an Osur Midorabanan. If you're not going to be Chayav Midoraita, you're going to make a Gzeira, because you might be Chayav Midorabanan in that case. That doesn't make sense. Ella, this must be the Chashash. Zimnin de Metakin Lei. The problem is not when you go to fix it, you're going to put the bucket down in the Reshut Rabim. You already did that. That you're not chayav for. It's also me the Rabbanan, but you're not chayav a chatat for that. But then when you finish fixing whatever it is in the trough, you're going to pick up the bucket from the Reshut Rabim, and then you're going to put it into the Reshut Yachid. And over there, that's clearly your intent. You're trying to take the water back, and even though you forgot that it was Asur, it was Shabbat, you weren't allowed to do it, but that's a classic case of Shogeg. And so picking up the bucket from the Reshut HaRabim and then pouring it into the trough or carrying it into the trough is moving from Reshut HaRabim to Reshut HaYachid, and you did the Akira from Reshut HaRabim with the intent to move it to Reshut HaYachid. And that is the Chashash over here. So this version of the Gemara suggests that the question only revolves around a case where you're holding both the kli and the animal's head. When it comes to the case where you're only holding the kli, it's clear there that you need Rosh Rubo to be in the area where you're feeding the animal. The only question is, when it comes to the kli and the animal that you're holding, do you need Rosho Virubo or not? We tried to prove it from our Mishnah that you do need Rosho Virubo based on the fact that there's a Braita that says when you're holding only the kli, that it is asur. And so that would then seem to indicate that our Mishnah that allows Rosho Virubo is a case where you're holding both of them. Well, I rejects it by saying that the Braita is not really speaking about a normal case of holding the animal. It's this unusual case that Abaye explains to tell us what the Braita is speaking about, and therefore it's inconclusive as to what the din is when you're holding both the animal and the kli. Igadamri, there's another version of this whole Gemara. We'll move through it much faster this time because it's the same Gemara again, just with the question formulated slightly differently. Gabi Adam, Hakamrina, the Sagale Berosho Rubo, like we saw in the Braita, by a person, Berosho Rubo is sufficient. Gabi Para, Misagale Berosho Rubo, by a Para, is Rosha Veruba enough? Olo, Heichen the Nakid Man of a Nakid La, Loti Bailach. In a case where you're holding the animal and the bucket, the Sagila Berosho Rubo, there we have no question that Rosho Rubo works for the animal. Elakiti Bailach, the Nakid Man of Lo Nakid La. In a case you're holding the kli and not the animal, my, what's the din there? So over here, the Gemara takes it for granted that when you're holding both of them, you need Rosho Virubo. The only question is, when you're only holding the kli, is it Asur the Gamre? Or does Rosho Virubo work over here? As opposed to the first way we formulated the question, which was that when you're holding only the kli, you for sure need Rosho Virubo, and it seems to it would have worked. But in a case where you have both the kli and the animal, there it could be Rosho Virubo, or maybe less than that. So Amar Lei Tanito, it's our Mishnah. Bavajdei Paro Shavru Bab Mivftim Shota. My love, the Nokid Manav, the Nokid Law. Must be a case where he's holding the kli and not the animal. And you see that Rosho Virubo is efficacious in this case. Amar says Lo, the Nokid Manav, the Nokid Law. It's a case where he's holding the animal and the kli, and that's why you need Rosho Virubo. And that would be evidence to the fact that only by Machzik Berosho and the kli does Rosho Virubo work. But when it comes to just the kli, Rosho Virubo would not be a solution. V'achanami mistavra, explain the Mishnah that way, makes sense. The inokit mano v'lo nokit la. If you say it's a case where he's only holding the utensil and not the animal, mishori. Since when is that mutar v'atanyo? We bring the same bright that we brought before. Lo yimele adam mayim biten lifnei b'emto. Person can't draw water and then hold the kli for his ema to drink from it. Avol me'alei v'shofech. He's allowed to draw the water and pour it into the trough. Yishulta me'alei and drinks by itself. So Gemara says, that's not necessarily a proof, because ha'it mar'ala. We already have a bias qualification of that, that it's not really speaking about a normal case of holding a kli, but rather, ha'cha ba'avuso mei b'shut rabim v'asarat fachim rochab arba'a. It's a case where you have a trough that goes into Reshut Rabim that is 10 tefachim high, 4 wide, so it's a Reshut Yachid. Rosho nichnas ben apasim. And one end of the trough enters into the area of the basim. The zimni chazile lavus de mikalkel, because sometimes he's going to see that the trough broke down, but atili tikune, he's going to fix it. The darle de davlo bade, he's going to take the bucket with him and put it down in the Reshut HaRabim, and that'll be kamafik meshut yachid Reshut HaRabim. May I ask, v'chigav nami mechayev? Why would you be chayev in that case? Amar Rav Safar, Amar Rav Yami, Amar Rav Yochanan. Hamifanech chavetzav mizavid lezavid. If you're moving your utensils within your house, benimach leim, and suddenly changed your mind, gotzian patur, and you take them out into the Reshut HaRabim, it's patur. Shloita akira mishar rishona lekach, because your akira was not an akira visur. You didn't intend to take them to Reshut HaRabim when you picked them up. Ela zimne demetakin leiv ahadar mayole. A case where he fixes it, puts the bucket down in Reshut HaRabim, and then afterwards takes them to Reshut HaRabim and brings it back into the Reshut HaYachid. Bekamayole mishut HaRabim and the Reshut HaYachid. It's going to move it from the Reshut HaRabim to Reshut HaYachid. So now we leave both of these questions without an answer as inconclusive. When it says Tashma, let's at least prove it from here, the first way that question was formulated. Gamal, Shirosho, Verubo, Bifnim. If you have a camel who has the robe of its body and its head inside the Pasei Biraot, with also what it says it could be even in a Reshut HaYachid, Ofsimoto, Bifnim, you're allowed to stuff food into the camel in order to force feed it. As Tosfos points out, we saw a Mishnah in the last parak in the Gemara in Shabbat that you're not allowed to do ivus on Shabbat. So rather, it has to be the version of stuffing the animal, forcing the animal to eat, which is malitin. And over there, the Gemara distinguished between biyad or bikli, or whether it was impossible for him to regurgitate the food, or whether he could spit out the food. That's whether it was mutar on Shabbat. So he did it in a mutar way on Shabbat. He's force feeding the camel. He's only allowed to force feed the animal when Rosh Hashanah Rubo are inside an area that's Rishut Yachid or Pasei Birot. Vayivus, keman denokid mano venokid lo damyo. In a case of force feeding, it's clearly where you're holding the food and you're holding the animal. It's the only way you can force feed the animal is by holding both of them. Because ba'in and Rosh Hashanah Rubo. And over here you require Rosh Hashanah Rubo. So that should answer our first question that asked whether when you are holding both of them, do you need Rosh Hashanah Rubo or can you have less than that? So from here you see that you need Rosh Hashanah Rubo. Acha bar Rav Huna, I'm Rav Sheshet Shiny Gamal. A camel is a different story. Hov et savaro aroch, because his neck is very long. So by the case of a camel, even if you were holding both the animal and the food, or you were holding the bucket and the animal, it's still not enough. Since his neck is so long, he can easily turn his head and pull it out into the area of the Rishut HaRabim. And given that, you need to have Rosh Hashanah Rubo even when you're holding both of them. But by a normal animal, if you're holding the animal and you're holding the bucket, you won't need Rosh Hashanah Rubo. It would be enough just to have the head of the animal, whatever you need for the kli, to be inside the Pasei HaBiriot. So it says, Tashma, Behema, Shrosh Hashanah Rubo Bifnim, Ofsimuta Mi Bifnim. So here again, you have a similar case to the camel, but it says in camel, now it says Behema, any animal. If you want to force feed it on Shabbat, it has to have Rosh Hashanah Rubo in the area that is a Rishut Yachid. And again, Ha Yivus, Keman Denokit Mano Venokit La, Damyo. Isn't it similar to a case where he's holding the animal and holding the food or holding the water and the animal? Okay, we need Rosh Hashanah Rubo. And once again here, you need Rosh Hashanah Rubo. So my says, my beima nami diktani gamal. And the brightest said beima, it meant a gamal. My says, vahatanya beima, vahatanya gamal. Wait a minute, you have another brighter that says gamal. Now you're telling me the one that says beima means gamal? Why do you need that? So he says, mide gabi adodi tanya. Wait a minute, who says these brightot are brought from the same school of brightot? It's one thing if Rabbi Chia or Rabbi Oshaya whereas the one who authored or collected both of these brightot, then you could argue that if it says behema and gamal, then behema has got to be different than a gamal. But if these brightot came from two different schools, it could be that one school used the term gamal, the other school used the term behema, but they meant behema, they meant gamal. It's not necessarily that you have to contrast these brightot. They might be the same brightot, just with a different term for gamal. One place it says gamal, the other one says behema, but it means a gamal. And therefore you can't prove anything from this brightot, because it might be a unique din with regards to a gamal. Tanya nami ochi, and we have a braita that supports this contention that a gamal is unique. Rabbi Elazar Oser, b'gamal ovid savaro aroch, that he says by a gamal is problematic because his neck is so long, and as Rashi suggests over here, that's even if Rov Gufo is inside, because he's going to pull his neck back until it reaches the Rishut HaRabim. So even Rosh Hashanah Rubo won't help. But what you see from that is that the Gamal has a unique standing. So yes, the Chachamim think that Rosh Hashanah Rubo is enough. Rabbi Elazar says that's not enough, but you can't prove anything to other animals from the Gamal because of that unique standing of the Gamal, and therefore we don't have any answer to this question. Not the first version or the second version of the question. The first version being whether when you're holding both the animal in the bucket, can you do less than Rosh Hashanah Rubo, or you still need Rosh Hashanah Rubo? According to the second formulation, in the case where you're only holding the bucket, is Rosh Hashanah Rubo enough? So now the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Ado, lo hutru pasei biraot elo olei regalim bilvad. This concept of pasei biraot is a special dispensation for the olei regalim. Now again, as we already noted in the first Amud, and Tosafot mentioned on the Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek, midoraita to Rishut Yachid. The Chachamim didn't want you to utilize these as Rishut Yachid because they're subpar mechitzot, and therefore they didn't want to allow it to become a Rishut Yachid because people are not going to understand it completely. They gave a dispensation for Olei Regalim that they can use these Pasei Biraot, and they can use these Jumadim and the Pasim because it was a necessity. And so because of the necessity, they waived the Din Rabbanan in that instance. So that's what we're hearing here from Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Ado or Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Ami, that Pasei Biraot only worked for Olei Regalim. V'atanya lo utru Pasei Biraot ela gabei behema bilvad. Wait a minute, we said that Pasei Biraot is only for feeding animals, my behema. So then, what's the meaning of behema here? Behemat Olei Regalim. Pasei Biraot are only allowed for the animals of those that were Olei Regalim, because they needed water when they were coming up to Yerushalayim. because they're bringing up korbanot and lots of animals to bring to Mikdash, and they need to be able to give them to drink along the way. So that's the dispensation to use the pasei birot. But what about the person who needs to drink? That's not a problem. Aval adam, a person, mitapes v'olem, mitapes v'yorei. He can wedge himself into the cistern or the bore, in that it's narrow enough that his hands and feet can be pressed up against the two sides of the bore, and he can lower and delve down slowly, and then take himself back up with climbing inside the bore. And once he's inside the bore, it's all reshut yachin, and he can drink that way. Ini, is that really true? V'amar Rav Yitzchak, amar Rav Yehuda, amar Shmuel. Lo hu true pasei birot, elo leber mayim chayim bilvad. The only heter for using a pasei birot is when you have a live spring. Not only is it a well, but it's a live spring. Rashi says over here, the distinction being made over here is not a distinction between a be'er and a boar. A be'er is something that has a well, that has a continuous supply of water, and a boar is a cistern. So that could have been the distinction he's making, but then he should have just mentioned be'er. The fact that he mentions mayim chayim, the live spring water, means that it's potable water, drinkable by human beings. Why would you need it to have water that's drinkable by human beings when human beings can't even use the pasei habirot in order to drink the water? So why would you have the water be of a standard that is potable when they're not the ones drinking the water anyway, because it's not mutar? Ella, you must say that it has to be for Adam also. If it's for animals, what do you need? Live spring water. Mali mikunasim. What does it matter if they are live spring water? What does it matter if they are cistern water, whether it's be'er? Why does it matter at all? Animals will drink any quality of water. They don't need it to be of a potable type. It says, binyan mide de chazil adam. You need something that is potable. The standard of the water is something that's chazil adam. And the reason being, as Rashi notes over here, is because the whole reason the mechitzot work over here is because of the water. As Rabba said before, if there's ein mayim, ein mechitzot. So the mayim makes the mechitzot. As we saw again in the Mishnah, that's because the mayim makes it into a makom dira. Well, dira means a dira for human beings. So the water has to be water that is of a quality or a standard that a person would drink it, because then it makes it into a makom dira. Once it's a makom dira, it makes the mechitzot, the pasei birot, into a mechitza. And that's why it works over here. Tosfos over here discusses what does that mean in the end. I mean, in the end, it sounds like you only feed your animals over here. Human beings can't drink from it. So he says, what about before? We said you're allowed to stuff the animal with food inside the pasei birot. That sounds like you can use it for something else besides drinking of animals. So one answer for that is that maybe that's being a reshut yachid and not a pasei birot. Or once we already allowed you to give water to the animals, then any tzorach behema is mutar inside of the pasei birot. And then he says, why then do you need it to be ra'oi v'adam if its only function is for a behema? So the first answer he gives is that maybe when you draw water for the animal, if there's excess water there, then the human being is allowed to drink it. And since that's the case, it has to be that it's ra'oi li'adam. Inami, he says that when we say lo'u tru le'tzorach ve'ema, hainu tchilat ha'tikun. That means that in order to establish the pasei birot, the main reason or the main function should be for feeding the animals or giving to drink the animals that are coming up the Olei Regalim. But once you've already established it for that purpose, and there that purpose is now in place, then even a human being can use it and draw the water and drink from the well. So Tosfot has many different formulations of what it means here, that it can only be used for behema and not for adam. Does that really mean behema and not adam? Does that mean behema for any function, but not just for drinking water? Or does that mean that if there's leftovers from the behema, the adam can also have it? Or does that mean just once you've established it for the behema, a person can use it just like the animal uses it, because the main purpose or the reason it was instituted or put in place was for a behema? Kufa. Lo uchu pasei birot el behema bilvad. Aval adam mitapes v'olem mitapes v'yoreit. So we said before, when it comes to the cisterns or wells, the person just lowers himself and brings himself up and he drinks. V'mayu rechavim. What happens if they're too wide for you to then wedge yourself to scramble up and scramble down the well? Afilu adam nami. In that case, even for a human being, you can establish it. Or the way that Tosafot formulated it is, now even l'chatchila, you can make it l'adam, when it's so wide. Whereas when it's narrower, you can only make it l'chatchila for behema. Once it's already made for behema, then an adam can't use it. V'lo yimale adam mayim, v'yiten lifnei behemto. Here is the braita that we quoted all along, that Abaye qualified, that the Gemara quoted before. This is the braita. Lo yimale adam mayim, v'yiten lifnei behemto. So you're not allowed to draw the water and then give it to the animal to drink. Rather, you have to pour it into the trough and the animal drinks by itself, or you put the kli down and it drinks by itself. Then if that's the case, what did the pasei birot help out with? It says, what do you mean, what do they help out with? The malot, man. That's what it allows you to do, because it's a reshut yachid in the boar, the be'er, and outside is a reshut rabim, and it allows you to take the water out and pour it into the trough. They're still helping. The question is, how does this help you with regards to the rosh and the robe of the para? Why do you need rosho v'rubo of the para if you can't feed the para directly? But rather, you have to pour it into the trough. If you have to pour it into the trough, then there's never a chashash that the kli is going to be pulled out of this area. So then why do you have the requirement of rosho v'rubo be inside? And as Tosfos points out, Rav Anan either has to believe here that when it says boi male over here, it means even when you're holding the animal and the bucket, that you're not allowed to feed the animal. And then the question is, where does rosho v'rubo then come in? Or he believes, like we saw one of the two lashonot in the previous Gemara, that when it comes to holding the animal and holding the bucket, you don't need rosho v'rubo. The only time you need rosho v'rubo is when you're only holding the bucket. And then the Braita is saying that you can't do that. So then what does rosho v'rubo help? Where does that help? So Amar Abaye, here comes Abaye that we brought all along. It's a case where the trough is in reshut rabim. Ten tefachim high, four wide, which makes it into reshut yachid. And the end of the trough is inside of the ben apasim. And then that's what the Braita says over here, that you're allowed to draw the water and pour it into the trough inside the ben apasim and let the animal drink. You can't carry it over the trough, even though that's considered reshut yachid all the way along because of the chashash of the gzirot that we discussed before, and that's what the v'chule is in the Gemara. And we're going to stop here, 15 lines down on the top of Chaf Aleph, Amud Aleph.